Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
We got to stop playing this song. At this time, 2 o'clock. Your boy's nodding.
No, it's not. It hurts.
It does hurt, but this song hurts even more.
I think it's a perfect way to describe that game.
Number 7 is a blind man. Number 7 is a bum. It's a remix, baby. That's all I keep hearing in my head. You said Johnny Cash? Is that what you said? I know. 3 points. That's all the Bears could muster. Is it time to question this offense? Yes, it is. Are they capable of competing in today's NFL? No, they're not. We're taking your calls, though, about the big collapse. And it's there, 312-644-6767. Again, Bears fall 19-3. Bears put up 3 points in the first half, 0 in the second. 0 points in the second half. That's crazy. The defense did their job. Held them to 6 points in the second half after giving up 13 in the first. It's tough. Patriots were plus 240 in this one. It's just terrible to watch. Looking at the stats, Bears only 11 first downs. The Patriots had 16. The Bears were 1 for 14 on third down. You understand? 1 for 14 is insane. It's diabolical work, as the kids are saying now. New England, not too much better. They were 5 for 14. There was a point, I think it was like they were both teams were 0 for 10 on third down. Bears 142 total yards. You know how ridiculous that sounds in today's NFL? The offensive explosion that happens every single weekend in the Bears. People are throwing for 300 yards. The Bears total yards was at 142. Average game per play, 2.4 yards, which is absolutely insane. Ran the ball 20 times. Remember when one guy ran the ball for 25 times like Jonathan Taylor did this weekend? Remember that? Yeah. 3.7 yards per rush for the Bears. 69 net yards passing. Of course, that accounts for all the sacks. Caleb Williams, 16 for 30 on the day. How many yards per pass? Take a guess in your mind. The answer, 1.8. Did you hear that? 1.8 yards per pass? Tell me again. Somebody call me up and make the argument that Shane Waldron should keep his job. How? How can you keep that argument? How can you make an argument for that? Sacked 9 times. I think Caleb threw those interceptions early in the season and because he was gunslinging. And then it was like, I got to protect the football. I got to protect the football. Now he doesn't take any shots. You got that? Pull up the cut with DJ Moore talking about Caleb Williams. He didn't say his name. He wasn't saying he was talking about the quarterback. But 1.8 yards per pass, no interceptions. When it gets to that point, you got to say to yourself, you got to start taking some shots.
I have a response to your Shane Waldron.
Oh, okay. Thing. Yeah, let's hope that's not the case. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score. Going to be hanging out till 5 o'clock on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I'm going to be hanging out till 5. That's when Dustin Rhodes comes on. He has the pregame show lined up for you. Going to give you all the stats and updates on things that happen over the weekend. Dustin, of course, the executive producer, is going to be leading you into his show, Mully and Haw. They got Olin Krutz at 7 o'clock. It's going to be great. Olin, Olin's been dropping gems, especially in that postgame, gems. DJ Moore hangs out at 8 o'clock with Mully and Haw. I don't think DJ Moore likes Caleb Williams. And I don't think Caleb Williams likes DJ Moore. 8 o'clock, he's going to be on with Mully and Haw. Brad Biggs at 9. Then Anthony Heron and Dan Weider at 11-1, respectively, with Bernstein and Harris. Kurt Warner, he joins Spiegel and Holmes at 3. Mark Grody joins them at 4. And then Jalen Johnson finishes the whole thing out at 5 o'clock. I listen to that every single Monday when I'm picking up my kids. Caleb Williams does not like DJ Moore, and DJ Moore does not like Caleb Williams. Is it a fact? No. Is it my opinion? Yes. You can't be eye-rolling people in the middle of games. I saw Caleb do it to DJ. I saw DJ do it to Caleb. You got that cut ready for me? Play this cut real quick. Oh, no? Okay. Don't worry. We're going to play the DJ Moore interview in just a little bit as well. And he says some telling things. DJ Moore is very, very open. He's an open book. DJ Moore has his money already. DJ Moore understands he's more than likely going to be a part of this franchise for the next couple of years. And he can see who, or I'm sure he feels, who is not going to be a part of it. 312-644-6767. Let me get this phone, Tyler, before you walk away. I got you. Let me talk to Ken from Gladstone Park. Ken, welcome to the show. What'd you think about the game?
I thought it was terrible. It was just pathetic. And like I told your producer, I'm 76 years old, and I've seen a lot of Bear teams, some good, some bad. This team is not good.
Is this the worst you felt? I mean, because we've had some bad moments with the Bears over the years.
I've seen some bad ones before, too, yeah. What was that one coach that went back up to Canada? He was terrible.
Mark
I've
Chessman.
Been through. Ditka was the best coach. After that, we had a clown car of coaches. Each one came out of the car was a clown.
Yeah, it's really bad when it comes to this point. What do you think about Waldron? I mean, I've been saying, you know, what are people going to say to him in the hallways when they see him tomorrow morning?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know, too, because there's really not much you can say to Mr. Eberflus. You can say, I think you need a new offensive coordinator. Anybody that brings up the old refrigerator Perry play is not in the game.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to look at, Ken. But can it be fixed? Is this something that can be fixed?
It's almost like it's going to be a clean sweep again. I mean, the core, that offensive coordinator, I don't know what to say, man. This guy just don't have it.
It's almost frustrating to see what the Bears have been doing with this team. Like, it's wasted talent. We haven't been in this position. You know, you talked about all the Bears teams you've been following, Ken, right? But we haven't been in this position too often where we feel as though we're more talented than we actually are. In the, you know, like, the record doesn't reflect what the team has. It's not like they're dealing with injuries. With
personnel-wise,
yeah,
you're right.
Right.
Personnel-wise, yes.
That's the frustrating part, isn't it?
But they don't have the right stuff in the right places. Like, their offensive line is horrendous. So it's hard to get any kind of a passing play set up where he's got 2 seconds and there's people on top of him.
Yeah, it's frustrating to say the least. Would you rather have Would you rather have Lou Getsy or Shane Waldron?
Can they get somebody new? Another thing, as long as I've been there, there was 2 teams in this town at one time, and I followed the other team. I still kind of follow. That would be the team that beat the Bears last week.
Arizona Cardinals, huh?
And I remember the Chicago Cardinals at White Sox Park. Or Comiskey Park, let's call it.
Yeah. All right. Oh, go ahead, Ken.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Gabe.
No. Go ahead. Finish your thought. This is your show right here.
No, I was just going to say I used to hop on the L and go to the Armed Forces game because quite frequently back in those days, it would be the Bears and Cardinals. And I love both teams, so it would be hard to cheer for one or the other.
Yeah, it would be hard. And it's getting harder to cheer for this team right now in the present, I'll tell you that. All right, we're going to hear from Coach Eberflus first. All right, I want you guys to hear him in his post game. There were some moments that were maddening. You can tell he talked to, I got to be honest, the Bears PR team does a great job. They certainly prepped him before this because he had the right things to say. But then it got too repetitive where you started to realize like, oh, these are talking points. You're not really giving answers. And then when they asked him about the play calling thing, like, would you be willing to look at everything or, you know, even look at the play calling, taking it away from Shane Waldron? And he said, we'll look at everything. But it was a repeatable that he had been saying, like, hey, with this whole thing, we're going to go back and look at everything. And they were like, hey, what about the play call? Hey, like I said, we're going to go look at everything. So he was using it as a blanket statement, but people are running with the notion that Eberflus is going to look directly at Shane Waldron and his play calling abilities. But take a listen. Here is Chicago Bears head coach Matt Eberflus following loss to the Patriots.
Okay, start with injuries. Tevin Jenkins ruled out with the right ankle. We'll see where that is. Moore was concussion protocol. And then Nate Davis came in this morning, as you guys saw, and head back. His back tightened up on him. You saw Andre, the trainer, before the game. Andre ruled him out, and then we sent him home because we don't want a guy standing on 2 feet with a back issue. So this game right here, obviously, as a head football coach, all disappointed, accepting accountability, for everything. And then really just looking inward at myself first. And that's what I asked the players to do, too, and the coaches. You know, we got to take a good hard look at everything that we're doing and play good complementary football. You know, I thought we started the game out solid, in terms of having some momentum there with the big return, with the interception and those types of things. And we have to do a good job of capitalizing on those to create momentum early. And the great thing I told the players is that I said that we have evidence on tape of doing that. It'd be different if you didn't have any evidence. We have evidence of that. And it's the same guys in the room, same guys in the circle. So it's important that we find a way to get that done. And the only way to get that done is pulling together. It's not about pulling apart. And there's going to be a bunch of outside noise, as we know. And I told them that. I said, but you know what we have to do? We have to pull together to find the answers. Because we have all the answers that we need in the room. And we have evidence that on tape and in games playing great complimentary football, playing with great passion this year. And that's the one thing to look forward to. But again, we got to take a hard look, inward look, accept accountability, and then be accountable to the guy to the right and to the guy to the left. And that's how you do this thing. When you have adversity like this, that's how you pull together, and that's the only answer you can have. But again, like I said, I'll take full responsibility for it.
When you talk about accountability and responsibility, what in a performance like this, what specifically are you accountable for that should have been better?
The whole thing, right? The operation of it, offense, defense, kicking. You know, that's the job of the head coach. And so to me, that's accountability for everything.
How do you defend your work as head coach when it looks this bad?
Well, I would just say that. I would just go back to we have the men in the room, and we have evidence on tape of doing it. You know, we've played some good complementary games in terms of offense, defense, and kicking, and we've, you know, scored points, you know, a few games in a row, you know, and done a good job of that. You know, so we have to find the winning way and our winning formula to get that done.
The offense can't consistently find ways to play complementary football. The team just won't win games. Ultimately, you're going to be held accountable to that, perhaps maybe even to the point of termination. Coach, my question to you is, are you willing to be fired without ever exploring the possibility that the offense could be better with better offensive game planning and play calling by changing the coordinator?
Yeah, like I said, we'll look at everything. I think it's look from everything from the top to the bottom and making sure that we're finding the answers to move the ball on the field, you know, play better as a football team on offense, defense, and special teams.
Change in offensive play callers on the table this week?
I just said we're looking at everything. Everything's going to be looked at.
How do you explain the offensive ineptitude of today?
Yeah, you know, again, we'll go back and look. Again, there were several things. Protection was broken down a little bit. You know, in terms of the route disciplines, all those things. It's always everybody, right? It's always everybody. When you give up 9 sacks, obviously that's something that you don't want to have happen. But again, that's an everybody thing. That's rhythm and timing of the quarterback. That's protection of the offensive line. That's route disciplines of the guys running the routes. It's all that. It's all that at the same time. So it's an everybody thing.
Is there a risk if there aren't changes made tomorrow to show tangible change that you could lose the locker room?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I do believe in those guys. They have faith in us working together. I believe in our football team. I believe in the leaders in the football team. And, you know, we'll just have to get back to work.
Go ahead, Pat. You guys were in an unusual situation this year where you had the number one overall pick, but you also had a roster that was supposed to win right away. Do you worry that what has happened the last couple of weeks has the potential to do damage to Caleb beyond this year? I mean, getting quarterback sacked 9 times, going through some of these struggles with the expectations. Do you have to make sure that you keep him on the same trajectory that you wanted?
Yeah, Caleb's strong. He's strong inside. He's strong outside. He's a strong individual. And he's been through adversity. And he knows how to do this. He knows how to get through adversity by pulling together. And, you know, and we got to pull together with everybody else, you know, too. You know, so it's important that we get that done moving forward.
Now, the results where they are, why do you believe this locker room is still invested in believing?
Yeah, I just know the men in the room. I know the men there. I know how they work during practice. I know those guys. You know, I've built tight relationships with those guys, and they're going to work and pull together to get this thing done.
Matt, what has to be different? Because, I mean, the message has been kind of similar the past couple weeks about getting the offense going. So
yeah.
How do you guys find a different route?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you got to go, you know, go all the way down to it and look at everything. You know, I think that's important part of it. You know, we need a spark in there. We need to be able to move the ball in the scoring zone to be able to score when we get there. So that's just really it.
Your assessment of the end of the first half? The game kind of got away from you guys in the last couple of minutes of the first half.
Yeah, we just needed to play better there on defense. You know, we needed to play better there. They had a drive on us, you know, and typically, you know, you convert on third down, you get a couple of chunk plays. You know, we just got to play better there as a group. You know, and then the 2-minute drive at the end, you know, we had them at the 50 there, and they completed that longer pass. So, again, we just got to do a better job as a group.
Where do you feel like Caleb is in terms of his NFL clock, in terms of when to get rid of the ball? Like, in terms of his development, where is he with that specific part?
Well, I think everything's developing. Everything's developing. He's a young quarterback. You know, he's only played so many games in the NFL. And again, every experience is different. And he's got to learn from that experience and exposure. So It's a developing thing. You know, it's never going to be like this all the way through. And again, we're going through some adversity right now, but the only way to pull through that is to pull together.
Coach, with the exception of last week, the defense hasn't given up more than 21 points today. Kicking game one, you guys in field position about the most of the game. Is it fair to look those guys in the eye and say, you guys got to do more when they all see 3 points, 9 points, and say, hey, we're doing our
thing? I do. I do think it's fair because we're a football team. You know, so if we're all part of a football team, we need to score one more point than the opponent. So when you don't do that, whatever the score is, it's all on all of us. So that's the way we look at it.
When was the first time that it raised a concern with you that there's a disconnect between Shane and his offense and the players running it?
Yeah, like I said, we'll have to look at everything. We're going to look at everything there on offense, defense, and kicking. You know, right now, when you lose three games, there's a disconnect, you know, not just on offense. It's about playing complementary football, helping each other out, seizing opportunities, and creating momentum. So that's what it's about.
There are a chance from fans calling for your job and frustration there. Did you hear that, and how do you respond to that?
Yeah, just get back to work. You know, I know it's part of the job. It's part of it, but you got to stand strong. You got to be the same leader that you've always been, and you know, make the necessary adjustments that you need to make. You know, be strong and courageous throughout it all. Look at each other in the eye, tell each other the truth, and that's how I know to do it.
How do you rectify 23 straight offensive drives without a touchdown? When it's not just today, it goes back to the Washington game, the problems.
Yeah, the same thing. The same thing. We got to find that. Look at everything. We got to find the continuity there. You know, find the structure that we need, the winning formula that we need to score points.
That was Coach Eberflus right there talking to the media following the 19-3 loss to the New England Patriots. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on 670 The Score, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I'll be playing DJ Moore in just a little bit as well. And I want to take your phone calls, what you guys are thinking about this loss. I mean, there's just so many things to discuss, so much blame to go around. I've been saying from the very beginning, you never hear me talk about asking for people to get fired. But a day like today, you know, even when everybody says, oh, somebody's in, I'm always saying, not only am I never asking for people's heads to roll, but I'm always telling you why it's not going to happen. They're not going to fire Eberflus because of this. They're not going to do this because of that. They're not going to get rid of Luke Getsy. I was saying that. Last 2 years I've been saying it. Today, I have no more reasons. There's no more lines left. I cannot think of something to tell you. I can't imagine a situation where they let Shane Waldron go out there with the Chicago Bears at home at Soldier Field against the Green Bay Packers to call the plays. Assuming there's going to be something different that's happening. That's the part that's the wildest to me. Oh my goodness.
What role does Shane Waldron have in this offense when you're demoting him from play calling? Like, what is his role going to be if he's not?
What is Justin Fields' role on the Chicago Bears right now?
Well, okay. But I'm
nothing.
Saying, like,
what is Luke Getsy's role on the Chicago Bears? Nothing. There's no role. You're gone. Pa fuera. Se jodió. It's over.
I'm talking about. So if, when he said they're evaluating everything,
yes.
If there's a new play caller, if Shane Waldron is still involved in this team, what will his role be if he's not going to be the play caller? I know what you want to do.
Yeah, again, I can't imagine a demotion. I just can't imagine it. I can't even talk about it because I can't imagine it. I can't imagine them saying, hey, bro, you know what? Take a couple weeks off and then you'll figure it out. Again, that happened this week heading into the Patriots where, hey, listen, I really hope you figure it out against, or we have faith you're going to figure it out against the Patriots. The team that if the season would have ended, they would have had the number one pick in the draft. That means you're the worst team in football. So going up against them, that was your chance to right the ship. That was your chance to get it together. That was your chance to prove that you can call a game for the Chicago Bears that results in touchdowns and points. I'm telling you who needs to fire coach, or excuse me, who needs to fire Shane Waldron. It is Ryan Poles. It is not a conversation that Poles and Flus have together, and then they bring Waldron into the office and they say, you got to go. No. It is Ryan Poles that walks into the building today, lingers around looking pissed so everybody knows something's going down, We all know how that goes. Ooh, something's happened. Did you see Ryan Poles is there? Oh, did you see Poles showed up today? Uh-oh. What's happening? And then you see Shane Waldron getting escorted out with one little brown box and a plant. How can you demote him and then what? All of a sudden he's going to figure it out? He's not a rookie quarterback that you let sit a couple weeks to watch the veteran. No, he is a play caller. He is an offensive coordinator. He's not good enough for the situation that the Bears find themselves in right now. Again, solutions, not problems. Thomas Brown, he's the passing game coordinator for the Chicago Bears. You know what position he held last year? Offensive coordinator. Okay? Offensive coordinator. He went to Georgia. He knows a thing or two about good football. Now, I'm not saying give Thomas Brown the keys to the ship and he's all of a sudden going to make it. He's going to unlock Caleb Williams in this offense. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is I sure as hell would like to see what he can do. Because it ain't going to be worse than what we've seen over the last few weeks from the Chicago Bears. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. The goods will be happening all day today. The fact that you get to hear from DJ Moore and Jalen Johnson on this radio station is incredible. Phenomenal job by the staff here. Because you want to know why? That's who I want to hear from. I want to hear DJ Moore talk about his relationship with Caleb Williams in an intimate setting with Mully and Haw. I want to hear Jalen Johnson continue to speak freely on this station when he's speaking to Spiegel and Holmes. This is the place to be. There's nowhere else. And I'm glad you're hanging out. Again, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Jack out in Rockford. Jack, who do you think the Bears should go after?
Well, I'm going to throw out a little wild card, Gabe. I think Dan Pitcher, the offensive coordinator from the Bengals, has done a marvelous job alongside Zach Taylor in making the most out of a really uncertain situation in Cincinnati. You look at what Joe Burrow and the crew were able to do against Baltimore without T. Higgins, without both starting tackles, and Joe Burrow is still able to throw for over 400 yards. They've got a good thing going offensively in Cincinnati. Obviously, the defense is terrible, but I think Dan Pitcher might be a name to look at, whether it be for an offensive coordinator position or the head coaching position moving forward.
Yeah, definitely some good names. I mean, you're absolutely right. Even when Ja'Marr Chase is out, he seems to dial up some interesting stuff. He's had an underwhelming running back room. Obviously, they traded for Khalil Herbert after Zach Moss got hurt. So, you know, he's had some people there. You got Mike Gesicki kind of having a resurgent year from the tight end position. So definitely a name that, you know, that will be thrown around. But I want to talk to you about Shane Waldron and what happened here. What were your thoughts on Shane Waldron when it got announced that he was the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears?
It was exciting at first, but, you know, people were excited when Caleb was being drafted and Shane's connection to Shane Waldron. And the reality is that just game by game, play by play, I'm just not seeing enough development from the skill position players to justify him sticking around. I think that they need to move in a different direction and they need to focus on the passing game. And Dan Pitcher, who was the quarterback's coach for Cincinnati before becoming promoted to offensive coordinator, he's done an amazing job.
Yeah, he has. Jack, I appreciate the phone call. And again, we're going to be talking about this at length, right? Who should be leading these men for the Chicago Bears? whose head should roll for the Chicago, all this stuff. You know, and we will discuss it and continue to discuss it. The Bears are 4-5 right now. Playoffs out of the picture. Are we officially in wait for next year mode? Is that where you're at? What were your thoughts on this game? 312-644-6767. We'll also hear from Caleb Williams on the other side, but I want to hear from you next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on The Score.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Is it Caleb Williams? Is it the coaching staff who's responsible for the Bears' struggles on offense? We're breaking it down right now on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Bears lose to the New England Patriots 19-3. Bears fall to 4-5 on the season. It's hard, man. I low key sometimes want to cry when I watch this. How do we get to this point as a fan base where you get sucked in? You're 4-2 heading into the bye week, and you're like, wow, this feels great. Wow, you're 4-2 and you still got games against the Commanders. You still got games against Arizona. You still got games against the Patriots before you start facing the division. This is going to be great. Not quite. Not the Monday that I was looking forward to. But I want to hear what you have to say because there's a lot of blame to go around. And clearly we know there's a lot of problems, but we're looking for some solutions. And let's hear from you. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Carl out on the north side. Carl, you want this Bears team and coaching staff to do what?
You know, if I was interviewing the coach, I was hoping somebody that was doing the interviewing, he's kind of a slippery interview. But when he says, I would fix everything, yeah, I'd fix everything. Okay, coach, that's a good answer. But help me out a little bit. When you say fix everything, where would you prioritize the things you're looking at? In other words, fixing everything, and you would start where? Number, let's say the first three things.
I got the answer. Okay, Carl, I'll pretend.
Number one would be what?
Carl,
be what? Number three, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Carl, let me be Coach Eberflus, all right? So, all right, what's the first thing I'd fix? Okay, look, I already told you. Got to go back and look at the tape to figure that stuff out.
Fine, but before you look at the tapes, is there anything that comes to mind right now because you were at the game?
Yeah, I got to be honest. Got to look at the tape. That way I can go back and look at everything and really evaluate it, but we're going to look at everything. He does the coach speak thing. John, right. Carl, he does the coach speak thing.
Right, but coach, you were at the game. Does anything come to mind when you were watching the game during the game that brought to your mind that we're going to have to look at that one thing? Anything?
Yeah,
you would say we have to do that first?
Yeah. You know, the reality is this. After every game, you always can fix something, whether it's a win or whether it's a loss. Like I mentioned, it's a week-to-week league. We lost today, so now we got to go back to the tape, see what we did wrong, and improve on it and get better.
Which is a non-answer.
That's exactly what he'll say, though.
You know what? He interviews as bad as the players were playing.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
So in your mind, is it an Eberflus thing or is it a Waldron thing?
you know what? They have to clean house. They basically have to clean house. He has no business calling the offensive plays. There were no offensive plays. They were so ridiculous. It was unbelievable. So you know, they just have to clean house. The whole deal needs to be reshuffled. And he needs to, you know, if I was him, the next game I would put Caleb on the bench, and I would bring out the backup quarterback and Bagent, and I would just say, I would hand Caleb a ball and say, look, sit here. If you want to hold on to a ball for a long time, sit on the bench, and I'll give you a ball, and you can hold on it for the entire game. But you have to stop. You have to stop holding on to the ball, and you have to get rid of it quicker. That would be the number one thing that I would do.
That's a great one. I mean, listen, when Caleb Williams is taking a sack because his guys haven't finished running their route down the field, it's like it's just a combination of everything, right? Holding the ball too long, a bad play calling when you know you, like when you're going five wide with the offensive line that the Bears have and the amount of times that the Patriots were blitzing yesterday. It's just common sense mistakes that they were making, but you're right, it's a little bit of everything to go around there. Carl, I appreciate the phone call. 312-644-6767. Taking your phone calls right here on 670 The Score. Is it as simple as it being a benching Caleb Williams? Is that where we're at now? Because I'll be honest, it's not the first person to say it to me today. I've had a lot of interactions with people today. And they're like, just sit him. It's like, just sit him. But you need reps. He has to have the reps.
You made your bet at this point. I think you have to keep playing him. Unless he gets hurt, he's your quarterback. This would mess up his development in a very obvious way, yeah, in my opinion.
You got to give him the reps. You got to give him the opportunity to play. You don't want to break his confidence more than it's already broken to begin with.
Like you're either on the side of the Minnesota Vikings or the Atlanta Falcons. You're sitting at least a season no matter what. Or you're Chicago, D.C., and Denver, you're starting guys right away. New England's kind of an odd situation, but your guy Drake May ain't playing too bad, Gabe.
Yeah, well, don't even get me started on my Drake May take, because
I was with you all last year. I remember those conversations.
I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there.
It's not. It's just reminiscing, you know.
I know, but I hate how it played out. And again, if you were to swap out Drake May with Caleb Williams, if you were to swap out Caleb Williams with Jaden Daniels, I think he'd be in the same predicament. I think it'd be bad play calling. I think it'd be a guy who's, and it's so weird to say that Shane Waldron is in over his head, right? Because he already had success calling plays in the NFL for the Seahawks. But again, no one was paying attention to the Seahawks. Nobody was looking for Geno Smith and what they were doing week in and week out. Nobody took them seriously in Seattle. When I say in over your head is because playing in Chicago or being the OC for Chicago with the number one pick in the draft holds a different level of pressure. That's a different level of pressure that comes with the job. And I don't think Shane Waldron is built for that level of pressure. Let's go back out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, brought to you by Busey Bank as well as Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Let's go to John out in Northwest Indiana. John, what you got to say about this game? Did you watch the whole thing? Did you torture yourself?
Yes, I did. I'm totally lost. And my perspective is I think they have broken Caleb Williams, and you know, because he's got talent and he can play, and like the last caller, he will not throw the ball. He will not. He got 9 sacks. I think four or five of them could have been on him. Throw the ball, even if your receiver is not open. Like you said, at this point, I wouldn't even care if it was an interception. I wouldn't even care if it was an interception. So, I mean, it's like they just take quarterbacks and break them. Justin Fields is an excellent talent. and they say that he couldn't read worth anything. I think he has the same problem. They broke him too. And his first receiver's not open. He just started taking off running because that's all he knew to do, because I think nobody's developing him.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously things that you can look at there when you're talking about, you know, JF1 and what he did to be successful with a bad offensive line versus what Caleb Williams is doing to be successful with a bad offensive line. I just think, again, for me, it's as simple as make too much is being asked of Caleb Williams in the present, right? Can we ask a lot of Caleb Williams in year two and year three, like put the team on your back and will us to victory? Yes. Should we be doing that in year one where we're like, yeah, throw the ball 30 times a game, 35 times a game in shotgun with a bad offensive line and somehow, come on, Caleb, will us to victory?
I don't think it's Caleb Williams. I don't think it's Caleb Williams. It has to be the play calling. You're talking about Komet got the ball thrown to him for the second time. I heard him announce it, the second time in 2.5 games.
Yep.
That should be his bread and butter right there. Anytime that they do anything, come at, where are you at? He's the biggest person on the field. Really?
And those throws felt forced. Like, it almost felt, and I think that that's what's wrong. Like, if there is some blame to go for Caleb Williams outside of holding the ball too long, there's also this, you know, I don't have a favorite target, so I spread the ball around. But everyone feels like I should be throwing it to everybody, right? So when it came to Cole Kmet, it's like, all right, everybody's, you know, complaining that I'm not throwing it to Kmet, or he got zero targets here. Here. Fine. Get your targets. Here they are. I'm going to throw you the ball three times. Now, shut up. Like, that's what it feels like in those situations where he's doing it to please people now instead of just kind of operating the offense.
No, I watched the game. Kmet, he barely went out for a pass. They might as well have brought in a third tackle and made him block, because that's all Komet did most of the game, until they'd be like, hey, maybe this guy can catch the ball.
Yeah, and then he struggled. I mean, they showed that one replay during the game where he kind of lollygagged to the DB and then made his little cut. And, you know, they were saying on the call, like, hey, you got to make him, you know, have some sort of deception, make him think about what you could potentially be doing, not just, you know, run up to him and then have him chase you. And that seemed to be the case there, too. Again, it's just, there's a disconnect. It's a disconnect between Caleb and the guys. There's a disconnect between the coordinators and Caleb. It's just a lot of disconnect, and there's no glue of pieces that are happening right now.
Okay, and who's the fault for the pre-snap penalties? Is that not coaching?
I don't think so, because I think it's pre-snap penalties on guys that haven't been in that position all year long, right? Guys that haven't played together, guys that haven't taken those snaps. Like Larry Borum and Mark Pryor aren't guys that were taking first-team reps with Caleb Williams all season long. So when you get into that system, you don't know his snap counts. Maybe you're so focused on getting the play right that you might have missed the last segment of Caleb's call where he's telling you what you know count they're going to go on. I think there's other things at play there other than coaching. Coaching plays a role for sure, right?
These guys have been playing football since Pop Warner, okay? These guys are in the NFL because they are what is called the elite on almost all the teams. They're the stars. And they're not looking like stars, like they're supposed to be the elite. Am I not missing
this
something?
This doesn't even look like a professional offense. You know what I'm saying? Like look at Carolina against the Giants, right? Like, they're one of the worst teams in the league, and they're out there moving the ball and you know, getting things going out there. You talk about the Patriots. They were doing it against the Bears. The Bears seem to be the only team that can't muster up any offense whatsoever. I mean, even the Titans, with Will Levis back in the building, got some points on the board and were able to, you know, formulate some sort of offense, again, that looks like it's a professional football team. The Bears don't even look like that, and that's the most frustrating part. John, I appreciate the phone call, man. I'll be back next week. Look forward to having you call in again so we can chat a little bit. Let's take one more phone call before we go to break. Let's go to Deshaun. Now, Deshaun, you're from the East Coast listening on the Odyssey app. You says here you changed your mind about something. What is it?
No, it's Sean, not Deshaun.
Gotcha.
Not a big deal. So, I live up here in Maine. I'm watching the game. When the Patriots scored their first touchdown, my phone lit up from all my friends. I am amazed at what this offense cannot do. We have too many weapons outside. I don't get it. I'm not a big proponent of firing the coach in season, because where do you go from there? But here's the deal. I think we need to get rid of Eberflus. As much as I think I like him, I'm waffling back and forth on him week to week now. And Shane Waldron's got to go. These bubble screens are not working. To DJ Moore, the non-commitment to Cole Kmet, and I think he's one of the better tight ends in the league. I don't get it. I just don't get the offensive line. We're not talking about the offensive line coach. Where are they being coached up? I think the locker room's been lost. Last week I told my wife, I just think the locker room's lost. My grandson's sitting there laughing at me. He's a big Patriots fan. This is crazy, man. Let me tell you, this is nuts up here.
Wait, hold on, Sean. You're talking to your wife about this, poor wife. What's her take on the Chicago Bears? Or is she just there to listen to you?
No. I own my own private car service company, and I don't work on Sunday. It's the only day I don't work. And so we sit there and we watch football together. She likes football, not as much as me. She's a Patriots fan. Can't be a Patriots fan. Sorry.
Did you make her sleep in the basement today?
No, man.
Are you sleeping on the couch today? Something's got to give here.
Yeah, right? I'm sleeping in the man cave last night, I did. Anyway, the worst part about it is my grandson, he called me after the game. He was at the house at the start of the game, called me after the game, started laughing at me.
That's
the biggest part. Come on, man. You know, where does it end? You tell me. Give me some answers, please, so I can defend myself up here, please.
Yeah, it's equally as frustrating, Sean, for me to have to watch this as a fan and then come on the radio and try to formulate some semblance of an answer to or a solution to this problem. And it's maddening. My only solution so far that I can come up with is as a show of force, is Ryan Poles has to fire Shane Waldron himself. It can't come via the coach. It has to come via Ryan Poles. And he needs to be like, hey, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I expected when I put you guys together. Something needs to change, right. And it needs to change right now. And I think if that happens, then, you know, some people, look, there are two types of people in this world. Those that need a pat in the back or those that need a kick in the butt, right? They tried the pat on the back approach. You know, hey, man, it's going to be all right. We're going to be all right. We're going to look at the tape. Things are going to be okay. We're going to figure it out. That's pat on the back, right? They've tried that. No, it's kicking the butt time. It's your ass needs to get out of here. You guys need to start working. People need to start doing their jobs, executing at a high level. Or if not, you guys ain't going to be playing with the Chicago Bears in the future.
Right. We have an old saying. I'm 30 years retired military. Don't be part of the problem. Be the solution to the problem. Okay? And right now, I think Shane Waldron is the problem. And unfortunately, I think Eberflus is the problem.
Yeah.
The biggest problem for us fans is they have the same agent. They have the agent Wall. And something's got to give here. I mean, they're calling for his head. Chicago Bears fans, I've been a Chicago Bears fan. I'm 60 years old, man. I've only ever once ever hear them say, fire a coach. Once. Ever, other than this.
Yeah, it's something that, again, you hear about the Chicago Bears team. And thanks for the call, Sean. I appreciate you. And if you're up next week, I know you don't work Sundays. Make sure you call me at night so we can talk about this Bears game together. But Poles told me he's not going to be – we shouldn't be – he's tired of hearing of the past. That's what Ryan Poles told me. Ryan Poles said he's tired of hearing about the Bears of the old. Well, you know what? If that's the case – then I want you to be tired of hearing about how the Bears don't fire anybody in the middle of the season.
What happened to take the North and never give it back?
That's just it. They haven't taken it yet.
Right.
So that's when they take it, they won't give it back.
When have they taken third place? We're being real here, right?
I just want them to take some victories. Take a victory and never give it back.
How about?
But they did that. They took a victory and gave it back to the Commanders.
How about a 300-yard offensive game? Is that too much to ask? 150 seems like it's too much to ask, considering for a third or a quarter of your games, you couldn't muster up 150 or more than 200 yards. Pathetic.
It's absolutely pathetic. I remember a long time ago, back in the day, when Caleb Williams was throwing for 300 yards. 363 against Indianapolis. 363.
304 against Carolina.
304 against Carolina. How I missed those days. 226 against Jacksonville in the dub. Felt good. 130 against Washington. 217 against Arizona. 120 against New England. Listen, look at these numbers for Caleb Williams. He starts the season 14 for 29. All right? Not great at all. Then he goes 23 for 37. Big improvement week one to week two. Then he's 33 for 52, 63% completion percentage. Hey, you put up 363. I'm not mad at that. Then he goes 17 for 23. You can't tell me that he doesn't have at least a history of a resume of being accurate. And 17 for 23, 20 for 29, 23 for 29. Then they go on a bye week. Something happened. This needs to be studied. Then they go on a bye week. He has time off. And then he goes 10 for 24, 22 for 41. And then yesterday, 16 for 30. It is that frustrating. But what did Caleb Williams have to say about himself? We will play Caleb Williams post-game press conference after the break in the 3 o'clock hour. But I also want to hear from you. A lot of frustration to go around. If you're Sean living on the East Coast, you got to be sleeping in the man cave. Think about how frustrated he is. His wife's a Patriots fan. What? You think you're upset? At least you don't got to go home to your wife gloating. But how do you feel about this game? 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. I'm Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.